You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, we have some breaking news. Before we get to that, I want to make sure everybody's following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. All right, are you ready for this breaking news?
If it's what I think it is, no.
Are you ready?
No.
This is from Arash Markazi.
Oh.
And he tweets out, LeVar Ball, his wife Tina, and LaMelo Ball are having breakfast with UCLA at the team hotel in Shanghai. Here's the big news. Here's the big part. Ready? LeVar Ball said he couldn't talk.
I mean, that's just a lie. He definitely can talk.
I feel like that would be the only way that LeVar Ball would not talk is if he was physically incapable. And even then, he would magically learn.
LeVar Ball is not willing to respond to. It is his son potentially starting a war with China.
LeVar Ball, like, even if he was physically incapable, like, he lost his voice completely and he became unable to speak with his voice using words, he would magically learn sign language.
Yes, spontaneously, like, spontaneous telepathy, just beam the words directly into your mind.
He would learn big sign color. Language, and he would only learn the letter B.
Well, that would be, I think really anyone could do that if they wanted to. That would not take very long to just learn the letter B.
I think I know it. I think I don't know for sure though.
Yeah, let's say this will be a really good segment. Anthony tries to do sign language on the air on an audio-only podcast.
We should take a pause right now. All right, here it is. Ready?
You nailed it. Good job. All right, woo! Anthony got it. This was a story I was not prepared for. As far as the whole LiAngelo getting arrested in China for shoplifting thing, but the good news is he now leads UCLA in steals.
Lonzo Ball has been better than advertised on defense. LiAngelo's response: I got you, big bro.
He's like, I'll show you theft.
Being the consummate teammate that the Ball family seems to be, he got others involved in the theft.
Yeah, well, exactly. He, like Lonzo, makes his teammates better on the basketball court. LiAngelo actually makes them worse at larceny.
Or in the act of ultimate unselfishness, because LiAngelo is not very good at basketball, he got himself suspended just to make sure his coach can't play him.
I don't know, but like I was tweeting about this earlier today, but I am here for LeVar Ball versus the Chinese government. Like he's just waiting to get out of the country, I'm assuming, before he starts trash talking them. But I was expecting something like, real big ballers don't pay. Real big ballers take what's theirs, Anthony.
Exactly. Yeah. That's...
And technically nothing is stealing when the world is yours. So, like, I think LiAngelo was just showing how confident he was in his own potential.
I was actually...
Eventually, he would have owned that store.
I was actually legitimately concerned that LeVar Ball would go off and say some really offensive stuff.
Yeah, and hey, we avoided that. So, yeah. Good job, America.
we just avoided World War BBB.
World War BBB.
Oh my God! No, the symbol would be World War III, but with like a B somehow involved.
Yes, that's what we have narrowly avoided it so far. No promises that LeVar Ball will continue to not be able to talk, but yeah, I mean, this is probably, I'm going to guess, is not going to end amazingly well.
No, I mean, I am actually thrilled that he came out and he, you know, he did not say anything about this, and it gives
me –
That
was very smart on his part, especially, again, while still in China.
So I'm glad that he didn't say anything out there. He showed some constraint that I don't – I honest to God, I didn't – wasn't ready to give him credit for that kind of constraint. And I'm not sure very many people across the globe thought he could show this kind of constraint. So maybe –
You mean restraint?
Huh?
I think you mean restraint.
Constraint? Oh, no.
Ha! Finally, I wasn't the one who said a word wrong. But
restraint?
Anyway,
restraint? Constraint? I don't know. Like, it might
definitely
be
restraint.
Yeah.
But we'll anyway.
But I would say, though, that this makes me feel a little bit better if, you know, the hypothetical that we were talking about on the last show, if Magic was to put his arm around LeVar and say, hey, you can say that Lonzo Ball is the next coming of LeBron James mixed with Michael Jordan, but as a better shooter than Steph Curry. You can say any of the wild stuff that you can possibly say, that you can possibly think of, but please keep my players and coaches out of your mouth. And if he's able to show restraint, I'm pretty sure constraint still works, but if he's able to, no, constraint is like a rule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so if he's able to show restraint out there in China, which actually protects his family from the Chinese government, maybe he would do the same out here. We'll see.
So I think we may have stumbled into a solution.
Just keep him in China?
No. I was going to say, I think the Lakers need to take one of LeVar's children hostage.
Done.
I'm just saying it would solve the PR problem. I'm not advocating for kidnapping Anthony, but
but
I'm just saying, if I was LeVar, I'd be keeping a close eye on LaMelo because he might have just given the Lakers an idea.
Maybe that's why he's being homeschooled. Like, he was concerned about the school safety.
Well, I guess the Lakers have Lonzo in the building every day. They could just
Somebody actually in my mentions today said that they could start punishing Lonzo. And I'm like, there is no way, shape, or form that turns out even remotely decently for the Lakers if they start punishing Lonzo Ball for stuff that his dad says.
Yeah. Also, I just want to make it real clear. CC, the FBI, I did not just advocate for kidnapping a minor. It was parody.
We're going to move on. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about where the Lakers currently stand. Yeah, where the Lakers currently stand 10 games in, and then also what the A block was supposed to be. I kind of sprung this on Harrison, but what the A block was supposed to be was what the heck's going on with the Ivica Zubac. So that's what we're going to talk about here in a second. Hey, what the hell's going on with the Ivica Zubac?
So he is not playing, and as you astutely pointed out as we were preparing for the show, he has not played for the South Bay Lakers, which, to be honest, I'm shocked you noticed, given kind of the level of attention you pay to things on a general basis. I'm shocked that you noticed the G League team. But yes, he has not been playing for them, and he's not playing for the Lakers. So that just means he's, like, not playing. And I think,
I'll make the case, because you were gonna offer counterpoints, right? So I'll make the case for why it's a little weird. I'm not gonna go so far as to say concerning, but I think it's a little weird what might be going on, not what is currently going on. I'm not gonna
not
theorize
nearly as concerning, not nearly as concerning as the fake Luol Deng trade rumors you made up in your head and then became worried about.
I'm still standing by the fact that it's crazy to me that the Lakers confirmed any of that. But anywho, that's a different story altogether. But the Zubac stuff, it's weird to me that he's not getting any minutes anywhere. And the Lakers aren't talking at all about what might be going on or what isn't going on there. If he's hurt, if he's out of shape, if they want to see more from him competing against Andrew Bogut for any of those leftover minutes there, if they are looking to move him, it's weird to me. Like, of all the ways that they could handle this situation, I don't know if they could have picked a worse way to.
So I think I get what you're saying about him not playing and things like that, and that maybe it would be, you know, in a vacuum, it would be better for him to get some run with the G League. And in a vacuum, it would be better for him to play with the Lakers. But the problem is context, as always. And so with the Lakers, Randle can't play center if Zubats is getting those backup center minutes. Mm-hmm. And Randle has been far more effective at center so far this season. And as far as the South Bay Lakers go, Zubats was not the happiest to get sent down there most of the time last year. And they probably are happy to keep him with the team and have him practice with the team and feel like he's a part of a team, especially after last year when it looked like he was really going to have like a role going into this year, and now he's not. And so I would imagine that they're going to try and do what they can to try and keep him happy kind of in the wake of that disappointment. And I don't know that sending him down to South Bay would have like the desired effect.
Okay. Man, that if that's their reasoning, that's a little iffy.
Again, I'm not reporting anything. I'm just like, I'm going off of just basically like what, like he was not like he made no secrets about it last year, but like he wanted to be with the Lakers and he didn't like getting sent. He didn't like getting sent down. Like, he wanted to go and earn those same minutes with the Lakers. And so I think – and right now they have Thomas Bryant, who they're kind of doing that with. And so – and if you send down Thomas Bryant and Ivica Zubats at the same time, like, the defenders aren't going to be able to keep up with – or the – sorry, the South Bay Lakers are not going to be able to keep up with any team in the G League playing both of those guys together.
I've yet to hear a decent reason for him to not see minutes either place. Like, you can alternate games between him and Thomas Bryant – down there with South Bay.
I think I gave you a decent reason for him to not play with the Lakers.
Well, I mean, the Randle thing, sure, maybe, but you could still give him Bogut's minutes. Like, I haven't seen Bogut provide... Huh?
Bogut hasn't been getting minutes.
Well, but early in the year, he was getting
early
minutes,
early in the year,
right?
Sure, but, like, now
Or if you have to maybe play Brewer fewer minutes so that Randle could slide up and play more of the four, and you have that kind of upward movement across the roster in terms of minute allocation. Like, I just, you have to find this kid minutes because he's 20 years old. And at the end of the day, you're probably either you're trying to move him or you're trying to develop him. And not playing him at all doesn't accomplish either thing for you.
I agree with that, but I still think like by you're not going to give him or Randle the best case to showcase their value by playing them together. I think that we saw that last year, and we've seen it this year. Like, Randle just at this point in today's NBA, he's just not really a four. He's a five. Like, that's where he's going to be best suited. And if you play him at the four, teams are just going to sag off of him. You're losing everything that he's giving you right now defensively because he's not very good defensively at the four. And like him and Zubats offensively, teams are just going to be able to clog the paint. And so I think you'd be hurting the team. I think you'd be spiting, like, what is it, like chopping off your nose to spite your face? Like, you know, like, I just don't there's I agree with you on its face that Zubats should be getting minutes to develop, like, in a vacuum. But with the Lakers right now, it's just like, it's tough. It's like, it's kind of impossible to get him minutes with them. And so, and with the South Bay Lakers, like, I mean, maybe they just don't see like a lot of benefit in sending him down there to play in that fast paced type of environment. I don't like I can't tell you why they haven't sent him down there yet. Maybe it's like the, you know, the stigma that comes with sending second year players down there. I don't really know, but I think there are reasons for the way that they've handled him, and it's probably not what's best for his career. I will grant you that. But right now, I think they're doing what's best for the Lakers as a whole.
What's best for the Lakers as a whole might be to move him.
I mean, you're not going to get much back for him at this point.
Well, and it's not like his value is going to be going up anytime soon either, right?
Not anytime. I mean, he's under contract for next year. Next year, he might play. Next year, they might have a role for him.
Man, losing an entire year of a young player's career.
It's definitely not ideal. I'm
without injury
ideal
either. Like, that's just that's not ideal.
No, I'm not saying it's ideal at all.
All right, it's just something to keep an eye on. I think we would both agree that it's something worth keeping an eye on.
For sure.
And look, if it by the time this next show can come out or over the next coming weeks or so, maybe he gets more minutes, but it's the only, I think, outright iffy thing that's gone on throughout the Lakers season to this point. And our conversation is going to take a noticeably more positive outlook on what has been a really good year to this point on the other side here in a second. All right, so the Lakers are about to play their 10th game. I have that right? They've played.
Yeah. So the the Boston Celtics tonight.
So the Lakers are about to play their 10th game, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they finish the evening 5-5.
Nope, wait, sorry, they've played 10. They're about to play their 11th. My bad.
Well, they are 5-5, which seems about okay. They lost a couple close ones here and there. I think to this point, it's kind of hard to argue. I'll sum up the season to this point, okay? The Lakers are 5-5, which is really all that kind of sort of matters at this point. Lonzo Ball, and they are 5-5 with Lonzo Ball not playing particularly well on offense, though he has made up for it defensively, which is something that I don't think very many people would have predicted at all. Kyle Kuzma has shown consistency that I don't think anybody even still would have predicted, even if they were high on him from the get-go. Brandon Ingram has been better than advertised. Brooke Lopez has picked things up as of late. KCP has been a godsend in terms of on-ball perimeter defense and what he offers on the other side of the court, which is just kind of just stand over there and make shots when you have to. Jordan Clarkson has been better than I think most people would have predicted. And LeBron has made a couple tweets about Lonzo Ball. A lot of people are wondering what's going on over there in Cleveland, especially defensively. LeBron sent out a meme the other day about that Arthur fist, which he tried to walk back in the lamest way that he possibly could. But it looks like he seems to be kind of frustrated out there. In Oklahoma City, the only player of the three that they have, that the Lakers really have a legitimate shot at, Paul George, has, I think it was Royce Young, said that he is the one of those three guys between Carmelo, Russell Westbrook, and George who hasn't quite found his rhythm yet. So that's kind of good to notice and keep an eye on. In terms of the way this first, I don't know, month or whatever it is of the NBA season that we've watched, it's gone pretty freaking well, right?
Yeah, I mean, things are going pretty good. Like you said, the Lakers are 5-5. Their defense is good, even if I don't necessarily think that that'll continue. Like all the young guys basically are showing promise, and I mean, there's really not a whole lot to complain about unless you're us, and we just complain every day. But
I'm looking at it at sunset right now. I'm like, you know, I could do with a couple fewer clouds out there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually looking at the same sunset and. So I guess that's just how living in California works, actually. That's not that remarkable. But anyway, I don't know. What's been, like, the biggest kind of thing, I guess, to you, the most notable thing or the most positive thing? Because for me, I think that it's Lonzo finding ways to be effective despite shooting horribly, but honestly, it's probably Kyle Kuzma and his play. And the fact that he says things like that he doesn't compare himself to other rookies. He compares himself to guys like LeBron and Giannis. Like, he's we said before the season that we wanted to wait like 20 games in before declaring him for real. In typical fashion, I'm going to walk that back and jump the gun, and I'm going to go ahead and say he's for real. Future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer.
Kuzma better. Not. It's no longer Kobe.
Oh, man. Woo! That'll go over really well. You should send out that tweet and just see how it goes.
I'm not you.
You are better at showing constraint? That was a joke.
Oh, God.
That was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke.
Like, what's been your most – I mean, because for me, just Kuzma, the fact that he can – like, he's been able to defend pretty well. He's been able to play, like, really good on offense, even though his shooting hasn't been stellar, which was kind of the concern I think we had coming out of summer league, was like, okay, like, how good is he going to be when he's not shooting 50% from three? The answer is still pretty freaking good. And he's been able to play the wing, and, like, we're 10 games in. Teams are looking at tape now, and they're trying to take guys away, and he's actually kind of improved over that time rather than getting worse. And yeah, he'll probably hit a rookie wall at some point, but I've seen enough to just say, like, yeah, he's probably going to be a Lakers starter for the next quite a while.
I think Kuzma, to me, has still found money. There's enough novelty in it to where, you know, it's just like it's just an outright good story, but I don't think it's as impactful as the guy that I'm going to bring up. And it's Brandon Ingram, because heading into this year, and look, I will 100% say that I was lower than most people were, and lower than I should have been. And I was at that point objectively wrong, given what we've seen from Ingram through these 10 games. But in terms of things that impact the Lakers organization, if let's just say Ingram shoots the way he did early on in last season through these first 10 games, people are freaking out, right? And you have a top two pick who many might have wondered, hey, is this guy ever going to figure it out? So the fact that it isn't that scenario right now, and not only is it not that scenario, but he's been hugely efficient in ways that I don't think people were ready to predict, and has learned to use his length. I think Pete, your stepdad, has done a really good job showing how Ingram has learned to use his length on the defensive side of the ball, and how his closeouts are doing wonders for the Lakers defense, because it's forced some guys into shooting the ball at a much higher trajectory than they were really ready to and before he started his closeout. So if he's learning to figure things out with his length defensively, and he is making offense a lot easier on himself because of the way he's approaching the game, that to me makes it so that, look, Kyle Kuzma is really fun, and I think he's going to be really good. And I agree with you, unless, you know, say Paul George and LeBron come next year. I don't think he'll be starting necessarily with those guys playing ahead of him.
But I think it's time for LeBron to accept a bench role, Anthony.
Probably true. He's played a lot of minutes.
He's kind of old.
But if those guys weren't to come over, and you are going to go into next year with Kyle Kuzma being as solid as he's been, and Brandon Ingram potentially being a legitimate number two player that people look at and say, okay, yeah, that was a good use of that pick, then even if those guys don't come, and I'll still be annoyed because those guys didn't come and it cost the Lakers Russell to be able to have a chance at guys who don't wind up coming. But if they don't come, you have two wings who can step in and at least make sure the Lakers are not terrible for the foreseeable future. So I'll say I think Kuzma,
meaning Ingram and Luol Deng.
Yes, yeah. you have. I think Ingram to me is the top story of this season so far, and Kuzma is like 1B, and then Lonzo being able to be impactful without being very good offensively. All he needs to do is make a couple strides forward, and you have a lineup out there that, you know, is a legitimate NBA starting lineup between Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, Kuzma, and Lopez. And then eventually you bring in Randall, and that lineup has been bonkers, and granted a small sample size. But you're starting to see an NBA rotation. This team, we talked about last show, they might not be for real, but they're better than I thought they would be, and that's a great place to start.
Yeah, and it's also a great place to end the show. But I wanted to throw one more thing at you, because mm-hmm. we got some trade rumors.
Ooh.
So are you ready for this?
Yep, let's do it.
Give me your strongest take on whether or not the Lakers should trade for Mindaugas Kuzminskas.
Who?
All right, I can't tell if that was a sarcastic who or like an actual who.
I think I've heard the name before.
Yeah, so actually I will never forget this guy, because I wrote about the rumors that the Lakers were thinking of like signing him in free agency. It was the summer that they signed Deng and Mozgov, and it was I believe it was before they had even signed Deng. And so all they had signed was Mozgov at this point, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And there was a rumor that came out from like a smaller like reporter on the East Coast. I forget who it was, but like not like Woj or somebody like that. And they said that the Lakers were one of the teams to express interest in this European guy, Mindaugas Kuzminskas. And like he was a free agent that was going to come over and was like old enough to just sign with the team rather than being drafted. And I remember when I wrote the article for Silver Screen and Roll, we got quote tweeted probably 150 times with people saying who or what the hell is Jim Buss doing. And so I'll never again, like, other than the uniqueness of his name, I'll never forget him. He ended up ultimately signing with the Knicks, so Lakers whiffed on that one. Fired Jim Buss, I guess. And so he signed with the Knicks, and I guess like the Knicks are going to have to make a roster move, and so Kuzminskas' representatives have begun looking around at interested teams, like to see if they can facilitate a trade.
Of course.
And apparently, they're gouging interest around the NBA. And while there have been no report that says that the Lakers have expressed interest, the Lakers were originally one of the interested teams, so people are kind of linking them. So, do you want to trade for Mindaugas, do you think?
Sure. Let me see for sure that this is an actual human being.
That would be hilarious if I just did this just to mess with you. I wish I was that good. No, I'm not.
Then our show would be a little bigger if you were that good at this game.
I just made up like a player and just went on like a 5-minute spiel about them, came up with the whole backstory. That would have been brilliant.
So Kuzminskas,
I'm gonna do this to you at some point.
Kuzminskas is making $3 million this year. I'm not sure. Like, what kind of roster move? Why are the Knicks looking to make a roster move?
When Joakim Noah comes back from a suspension, they have to make a roster move.
Oh, so you could – I mean, you could just send over anybody, basically.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If it – let's see if maybe you could convince them to take Clarkson.
The salaries wouldn't match.
No, I know. I'm looking at their. I mean, you kind of sprung this on me a little bit, but let me look at what they got.
I didn't actually expect you to give a serious answer. I was just like,
I'm looking at what they could do. So they could. Right.
Of course, I thought I triggered the trade machine, the actual trade machine, Picasso. Get out of here, Bill Simmons.
All right, so you could send Clarkson over there for Kuzminskas and Kyle O'Quinn, and then you can basically just stretch O'Quinn and the Lakers. Now have to do less work in turn on their cap sheet because O'Quinn just has $4 million this year and next year. Kuzminskas is an outright free agent. The Knicks get an open roster spot. I mean, I'd like a pick involved because Clarkson is somehow way better than both of these players. But I mean, I don't know. I'd be down with it.
We just figured out how to solve all the Lakers' free agency problems. They just needed Mindaugas Kuzminskas.
And you could have the front court of Kuzma and Kuzminskas.
Yeah.
Kuzmunchkins, because they're young.
You wouldn't even have to... Yeah, but you couldn't even give them, like, a couple name, because both of them start with, like, Kuz.
Looking at... So he is 28, so he's not quite young enough to call a youngster, but I'd be cool with, like, I wish they were backcourt mates. I wish they were, like, both really short, and you could call them the Kuzmunchkins, but that doesn't quite work with two guys that are well over.
The fact that Twitter gave you 100 or 280 characters is an act of terrorism, and I honestly believe the service should be shut down.
You know, it's hard for me to disagree given the line I just dropped there.
Yeah.
It's your fault for bringing up Kuzminskas out of nowhere.
I mean, ultimately everything's my fault.
I can't wait to find the email that Twitter basically said, like, we are giving you 280 characters just because Harrison asked that you didn't get it.
No, they're going to send you an email saying your account has been shut down and it wasn't an error. Please don't call again.
No, you are not actually Magic Johnson. All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I believe our next show is going to be a preview with the Locked On Wizards host. So look forward to that. I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. As always, find our shows on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, The Lakers Outsiders, and have a good one, everybody.